Welcome to Expedition Self on OM Times Radio with lifelong learner, entrepreneur, and creator of the worlds of Expedition Self, Sam Parado. Sam shares 4 decades of studying, guiding, and teaching how to go inside so we can build an incredibly powerful, dynamic, and validating relationship with the self. Expedition Self is laced with stellar, unexpected insights about what it means to be human. Listen now and ignite your self-development process with Sam Parado.
Well, hello. Welcome to Expedition Self. I am Sam Parado. And, I haven't been on the air in a couple weeks, so I feel like I might be a little bit rusty. But each week, I talk about what it means to live more deeply inside of yourself. And this is really important to me because I think it's the state where all of your capacity and your power and your trek through every day of life, where it begins and it ends. And I say this about going inside, but I still think largely people don't understand what that really means. It's kind of like operating in 2 dimensions. Like, you have the part of yourself where you're going through life and you're thinking about what you're going to do, and you notice your thoughts that, make you concerned, and you think about that and you do a little worry. But the going inside that I'm talking about is when you actually have this reflective flashlight that turns back inside of you and then ponders what you're actually thinking about, or ponders what you're actually feeling instead of just thinking about it, right? So it's a kind of a meta experience, I think, that I'm always trying to help people figure out how to do. So this week, I had a bunch of thoughts around growth work, and they were thoughts that not any one of them felt like, oh, I'm going to do a whole show about this. And so I titled it The Motley Hodgepodge of Growth Stuff. And even as I was hunting up some poems, did you know that there's poems that are actually considered hodgepodge poems? So I don't know, this might be one of my new favorite words, hodgepodge. And really, when you think about it, it is very much the way I think we're all constructed, is that we're all a hodgepodge of ourselves. So I thought I would just read the description for you because I had fun writing it, and I figure some of you might not have actually seen it. So here's what I wrote. Delightful, it's going to be this show, it's going to be a delightful smorgasbord filled with random in-the-belly insights, an unexpected mishmash of emotion-filled reflections on living, and a ragu of self-development tips and hacks. I'm not quite sure that it's, I have that much that I'm going to be able to pack in here today, but if it goes well and we have a good time, I may just do hodgepodge 2.0 and get to talk in random about random things that are growth work related, right? That's what we're going to be talking about and bouncing around a bit. So I have a couple of stories for you. I also have a friend, Nick, who was sharing a synchronistic growth moment out of his life, and he's going to call in the second segment of the day. We have 3 segments. And I thought I would just highlight a few key thoughts that are really occupying my psyche and space right now. So this is a call-in show. I'd like you to call in today and share about something about your growth work, that of the hodgepodge of your world and your life, that stands out or is getting your attention right now. The number is 202-570-7057. All right, I'm looking forward to hearing from you as well. So I want to take a moment and ask you, when you think back before the pandemic, how were you doing? Really, what was going on in your life? And how busy were you? And what was fulfilling for you? And what was working? What wasn't working, right? Before the pandemic. So that would be 3 years ago. What was actually happening for you in life? I love to contrast times, and when I contrast, I found myself thinking about what's changed or what's the same, or how am I re-entering, life now. And then I was reading a blog post from Aviva Ram this weekend, And it had me start to kind of think more deeply about it. And for those of you who don't know Aviva Ram, she's this very dedicated doctor who is the source of Wild Health. And her tagline is Women's Healthcare Reimagined, Reinspired, and Designed for You. She's published some books, really, really insightful about women's health. So I want to read something that she wrote in this blog post. She said, "I've been thinking a lot about the nervous system, specifically yours and mine, in this wild time we're in, and what we're now experiencing in this phase of the pandemic and life in the past 2 years is something that's been dubbed crisis fatigue." And then she said, "I'm sure you feel me on that without me even explaining a thing." And I thought about this idea of crisis fatigue, but for me, I was tying it to the fatigue I actually was experiencing before the crisis. And it was a very real thing for me, so that when what happened, where our world seems to have kind of just gotten upended or feels like it doesn't look the same anymore, that we're experiencing this crisis fatigue, for me was actually a reclamation time or a rebooting time. So she also says this piece, at least one in four women were already on an antidepressant before the pandemic. And about that many were on anti-anxiety meds, and half of all women were having diagnosable levels of sleep problems. Boy, you talk about, like, that's like, wow. You know, for those men who are listening right now, I hope you don't feel left out of that, but it happened to be some data that I thought was really, really important. So somewhere or another, we're not living in sync with ourselves in such a way that we are not needing to have those additional support medicines, I guess is what I would say there. So I watch my nervous system a lot too. If I'm, you know, going inside, I try to pay attention. And the thing that I find interesting is that almost any state can become normal. So before the pandemic, I was starting to get panicked on bridges. And driving started to feel, I could feel myself having this like nervous level of anxiety. And, you know, I drove 2 hours a day at a minimum to clients. And then I would work on top of that 10 hours or so a day. And my nervous system at the time was definitely starting to become so sensitized that the things in life, in my life, were amplified, right? It took a lot more energy and like inner strength, right, to handle and contain, you know, my reactivity and what was going on. So at the time, it actually felt normal to me. So the reason her words struck me so much is that I think for lots of us, we don't really notice when our nervous system is at play, unless it's in some kind of an extreme. And our nervous system, it's connected to our immune system, which makes sense, right? Because all your bodily systems are now having to work harder when the nervous system is overtaxed for too long. Aviva even describes it this way, that it's one thing to deal with it, this kind of stress and overworking for the nervous system in moments or short spurts. But when the body has to gear up and stay up, there's a toll, right, that's paid in so many ways. And I know that we all understand, right, that health and our well-being and our energy levels and our really our sense of being at rest inside of ourselves, we know when that isn't like something's like not working completely about it, even if we've started to normalize it with it, right? Our relationships, when our nervous system is off, they feel it, and our ability to handle things feels it. So it starts with you noticing this difference. Like I said, I was somewhat redlining with my nervous system before the pandemic. And so for me, what it did was it actually calmed my nervous system down, and it gave me a complete excuse, legitimate, valid excuse, to stop and be quiet and stay home. That was the key. I needed to stay home, right? It was almost like I was just too exposed. I was too really every day out in the world and not feeling like I had I could be quiet inside. And I could tell you I didn't go out for a long time, right? As a way to lessen the stimulation. Now, I know for many, it was a complete opposite, that the pandemic actually, it ratcheted up your nervous system, right? Added it like incredible amounts of stress on you. So the question is, inside of our hodgepodge, our ragu today, is where are you now? What do you think you've noticed about the before, the during, and the now? Because for me, I feel like the pace, the demands, the workings of the world, the polarization of society, I think it's more intense now than before the pandemic. But I feel emotionally like my nervous system is actually able to handle it more because I had the break. But I do have the sense of fear or foreboding that wasn't as real then, or didn't have as many what seemed like tangible things for me to latch on to. So I'm bringing this up because I thought you might want to think about it too. How is your nervous system holding up? And do you even think about your nervous system? And what has gotten normalized, but really may not be in the best interests of your health? How do you bring focus? So if I always talk about going inside, a lot of that is emotionally and spiritually. Today, I'm really talking a bit in this spot about going inside physically. Noticing what's happening on that vibrational level, which I always associate with the nervous system. So words like self-care and stress and anxiety, being wound up, I think they even have become somewhat normalized, so that they, when we say, oh, I'm feeling stressed, it doesn't really alert us to the intensity and acute state of disruption we may be experiencing. See, everything after a while just becomes background noise. So before we know it, we're not listening as if we're hoping to hear the singular sound like a pin drop in the silence of a room. Aviva, she goes on to talk about ways to help your nervous system settle down. And I thought all of them were kind of interesting. So I'm going to share them before we go on to another subject today. So her first one was to hit pause. And of course, that struck me because I did hit pause with the pandemic. The next one was to get enough sleep. And how easy is it to blow that off, right? The next one is decide how you really want to feel and get there as often as you can. I thought that was important because so much of the feedback that we get from the world is be high performing. And I don't know that being high performing always is what we really want to feel, or whatever that agitation that goes with it, like we're never enough and we got to get more done. And so I really liked how she wrote that, which is, how do you really want to feel? And then create a life where you get there as often as you can. The next one was make time to keep your blood sugar balanced. Okay, that one I almost can't even talk about because I don't think I even pay attention to that. And I have something else I'm going to share with you in the show, so you'll see what I mean by that. Another one is learn to say no. And I think there's been a lot written out there about the importance that you can't really be a yes unless you're a no, right? If you don't have a no, you can't draw a line for yourself, then what does your yes really mean? And then use stopping as a spiritual practice, right? Like actually the idea that stopping for 20 minutes is really something that deeply serves the soul. And the next one was phone a lifeline. And what she really meant about that is that when we are feeling in times of demand that demand a lot of us, during those times, we have a natural need to gather with other people, and that the social, to have coffee or to get together and listen to music together. But that gathering really helps the nervous system to settle down because inside of it, we realize we're not alone. And then, of course, the last one was to engage, excite, and delight mode. And there is no question in my mind that when I start getting overtaxed, the first thing that goes out the window are the things that bring me pleasure and that are creativity related, you know, that have to do with something that takes me out of the checklist. And so I thought her list was pretty awesome. And I thought it was a rather brilliant post. You know, one of those kinds of posts that, you know, at least it makes me happy when I follow someone and their thoughts further my own exploration, that they're really somebody else's take on a subject that I'm actually working on. So if you were intrigued by that, if you write me at hello@expeditionself.com, really easy, I'll be happy to forward her post to you, and you can read it for yourself and decide if you want to follow her too. This is something that I tie to going inside. And it's this idea that every part of our body and mind and emotional experience are connected, and that we're living in a time that's super, super hard on us. And so I'm going to talk some more about that after we come back. But I did want to just I wanted to set up why it is that I'm hoping Nick actually gets a chance to call out today, is because to me, when you really go inside and you work on yourself, you start to create this kind of in sync relationship with what's happening externally or the universe. And I think there is this quality of like, I get more in integrity with myself, I get more in relationship. And because of that, then I draw and attract things to me that are really the things I really want, or the things that I feel like I'm ready to handle. So when we come back from break, hopefully we'll get to dive into that a little bit.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Okay, well, we are back today, and we are really just, we're kind of doing a different format. We're bouncing around a little bit and just talking about some random growth ideas and exploring this hodgepodge of, oh, I don't know, what am I thinking today? What did I feel yesterday? And hopefully you're hanging in here with me as we go along. So, all right, until we can actually dive into that whole idea of how when we work inside the world matches us up, I'm going to keep going with some of the things I had wanted to talk about. And it has to do with this idea that every part of our body and our mind and our emotional experience are connected, right? And so this time, it's super hard on us to stay with that connection, right? And so that's what growth work's about. That's what it comes down to, is whether or not we're really, really committed to doing that. All right, look, at Nick's called in. So now we can actually talk to Nick. Nick, are you there?
I am. Hello.
Ah, There you are. Okay, I thought maybe we were going to have to delay it, but there you are.
Perfect. I'm here.
All right, great. Well, it's good. You know, when we were talking about this situation that you're working on, because you're trying to launch your this new awesome thing, which you could share, but that there was something amazing that was so like synchronistic that happened, and you're always working on your growth work anyway. So I was hoping you might actually share the story for all the people that are listening.
Yeah, no, sure, absolutely. So I'm basically launching this software platform called Deckable, and it's kind of audible for card decks. And for months now, I've had this list of, there are 25 people around the world that basically sell courses to teach people on how to make card decks. And they're really kind of top of my target list, right? And I didn't go crazy and call them all straight away, because I wanted to make sure I did the right thing. So I've talked to like half a dozen of them, and I'm working actively with them. It's going well. And I thought, you know what? I need to get back and call more of these people. So I looked at the list again, and I shuffled the order and moved one person to the top of the list. And then I got kind of annoyed with myself because I hadn't actually called them, because little things had popped up. And then the next morning when I was like, okay, now I'm going to get back to the list. Well, I looked to my inbox, and what do I see? But I get an appointment booking from the person who's at the top of the list. She literally randomly had reached out to me and said, will you come and do a webinar? Will you come and talk to my audience? Blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh my God, talk about manifesting. Focus on what you want and it will come to you. that's about the quickest lead time. I've done some manifesting in my life, but normally it takes a little longer than like, you know, but maybe I had this list for a year, right? So I've basically been gathering it and choosing how and when I approach people. And this happened. and then we had an amazing call last Friday with 2 hours just chatting. We just hit it off like a house on fire. It was amazing, right? So I don't know, that just, hard to believe. Like I literally woke up in the middle of the night and I looked at my phone and there was, this woman's name was in my inbox. I'm like, no. And I had to roll over, picked up my glasses, looked at my phone more closely. I was like, this is real. And then I read the message that she put with it. I'm like, oh my God, this is just insane. So,
what I thought was so amazing about it, because you know you had shared it with me, this is not my first time of hearing about it, is that a lot of times I think people think that going inside and doing growth work is an intangible thing, and that if you don't like have all these goals around it, or like all the doing about it, that you know it's not going to produce results. So that would be one of the things I was hoping you might share, is what do you think in terms of your own inner growth work was at play that maybe moved, or you got some power around that then opened up the kind of synchronicity that you're describing there?
Well, I mean, you know me pretty well, and you know I'm like about as doing driven as can be, right? And you to say we've had 1,000 conversations about, Nick, do you need to do that right now? Like, how about being? And that washes over me, and my eyes roll. I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, the earlier, younger, pre-work me would have guilted myself into pounding every person on this list early and hard and often, and I just spiritually had not done that. I'd just basically gone, you know what, going to touch the person, see how it goes, going to work with them, go around a circle a few times, get back to this, you know. So I basically got much more patience about it, and which would have not been there before. And and then when I approached this, I get to the point where the list approaches me. I'm like, well, I must be doing something right, right? I'm like, it's all fueling. Like, I literally think of everything that I build. I invent things for a living, right? So I've invented multiple different software products, and I invented a board game. And everything that I take to market, I treat it as a living thing. It has energy. It comes to life. It has its own legs and momentum, and I try and nurture it when I try and design things to have momentum. And here this thing has actually shown me more momentum earlier. And
wow.
I think the difference is how I've approached it, right? I've like,
well, it's that inner world of letting go of attachments, right? Or specific types of attachments, and actually allowing yourself to be in the space so that it could come to you, is what I hear.
Right, right. And the other big thing was, like, I set myself this crazy goal, and I basically said, you know what? I'm going to launch this product when I have 100 people who brought 100 card decks to Deckable, right? And I'm such an optimist. I don't think how hard that's going to be. I've done tons of stuff before. Sure, we can do this, right? And I set off down that path, and oh my God, did the universe like whack me over the head with, this is going to be way harder than you thought. It's going to take you way longer. And I was literally on my knees at one point thinking, you know, and various people have been tempting me by going, you don't need to do 100. And I was even agreeing with them because it was so tough, right? And I mean, everyone I come off the phone with says, yeah. And then they just don't do it. There's no criticism of them. It's just life gets in the way, right? And at one point I just thought, you know what? I need help. And I looked at this list and I thought, this list can help me. These people all know people. And I just decided, and in one day, I sent off three or four emails, called a couple of people, and I literally lined up the next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I had 3 webinars.
Wow.
With each of these people, with each of their audiences, right? And then boom, like a month later, I've hit 100. I'm like, oh, I'm ahead of schedule, right? And it's all energy.
So the 100.
It's all how you approach it.
Well, the 100 stopped actually being what was important. What was more important was the creative process that you were, it sounds like, that you were in, right? The idea of, wait a minute, what is it that how can I relate to people? How can I bring myself in such a way that there's really a connection,
right,
so that it gets easier on
you,
right?
It definitely, I brought myself more fully to it. It was not about me. It was me helping them helping me. And
yeah,
it was just a lot calmer. And I just literally couldn't, I was like, whoa, how did that happen? Because literally everyone said yes. And then it was like, you know, it was 3 days in a row. I'd done the webinars and then my inbox lit up. Everyone was just like reaching out, connecting, doing things. And it all happened. And it was like, whoa.
There's something to be about, and I'm curious about this. Do you think that as you have gotten more committed to real, like the deeper growth work where you go in and you really refeel things and you really connect to the vulnerable places, the unconcluded places, do you think that that has, the substance of that is also what's now caused the shift where you're getting more substantive response? Like, do you think it's a match in there?
Oh, I totally do, because I've talked, and you know, I talked to Ruthie, who's my coach on this stuff, is like, we'd shared a lot of the failings of where things haven't worked and what did that feel like, and you know, and who, what were these personalities and what was their energy and what did I ask for and what did I, you know, what was I actually creating? And
yeah,
that's changed the willingness to accept that I can actually engineer that in some ways.
Yeah.
I'm not just like an energizer bunny turning up. I mean, I might still be an energizer bunny for sure. I'm not giving that up. But,
I'm thinking you can't take the energizer bunny out of you.
No, I'm not letting go of that. But I've embraced at the same time the whole wholesome self, mindfulness, like I am what I create. The people around me bring me joy. Like, oh, I think I've told you this before. It was probably 12 months ago. I stopped using fight words. Very male thing. I'm battling, struggling, knocking down doors, fighting, killing, crushing, right? And just started using a vocabulary that was more about dancing and curiosity and playing into and exploring and finding and getting curious. I started using just playful words to describe everything that I did. And that was a huge, huge shift. I think that's the beginning of the shift that led to this, right? It was like, I'm not fighting anymore. I'm not pushing against the system. The system is coming with me. I'm going to show me how to do this.
What's interesting about that is it really fits into my thought process around what I call learning projects. Is you took on a learning project to say, wow, if I play with different words, will it construct something different for myself when I'm processing?
Yeah, right? Totally.
And you're describing that it totally did work. Or it is words working. Really I think that's powerful. What we should say, right? Is working.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's working so amazing. I have to pinch myself because I kind of think, well, I better not lose faith in this process because look what it's doing. Like, don't go back to the old ways. This is where you are. Like, you know, like I kind of joke about the wooniverse and the woo-woo-ness of things and like, holy crap. I mean,
this, well, and the challenge like, about that is, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you.
No, that's okay. Go on. Yeah.
Well, what I was going to say, the challenge about that is that in order to stay with the process, you have to stay on that risky growing edge. But the more you feel good about, you know, what's happening, right? You're like, oh, I think this starts to work, right? The next thing you know, you slip away from the growing edge. And now you're back into that routine of, I got to make it happen, got to make it happen. So I think that happens like in the snap of a finger, right?
I will never, well, I'll say never, never, never say never, but I am so careful to celebrate. You're like, oh my God, look how much growth work I've done. Look how, and then whack, you know, bragging about growth work is like the kiss of death, right? Because the universe comes along and goes, yeah, we're going to show you, right?
Yeah, like, that's right. You better get back on your edge there.
Right. I always think beware. Like the biggest red flag to me is someone who tells me that, oh, I'm fully done. I've done all my work. But okay. Yeah.
Red flag. You bring up a great point. You actually bring up a great point, this idea that we're done or that we have it or we've handled it. I do think that's the mark of really being in our growth work is we really know that there's just, we're students, right? And that the student means that we actually can't see what lies ahead for us. We can only see what we're working on now, right?
Well, we grow up to a certain point where we layer and layer and layer and stuff on top of them, become more and more confused and complex. And then if we actually begin to do work, we spend the rest of our life unwinding all of that, right? Undoing, unlearning.
You know? Oh my gosh. So I'm like, well said.
I'm at that point in life where I'm beginning to unwind, right? Undo the mess that I've made. One gooey, sticky, you know, sharp edge thread at a time, you know?
Yeah, that unexpected thing. Oh, that was really well said. Thank you for that. That's an awesome, awesome way to think about it. So I so appreciate you in my life, and I appreciate you calling in and sharing this piece of your story. I mean, it means a lot to me. Thank you so much. Is there anything else you wanted to add before we close out?
Oh, no, just if there's anyone who's got a card deck out there, get in touch with me. 100's good, but 110, 120, 200 is better.
Well, that's right. It's like
you're
your
a card deck creator. Yeah, exactly. Keep fueling. We got to keep fueling it.
That's right.
Keep the energy
up.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Thank you. All right. Thanks so much. All right. Bye.
Pleasure. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Well, I hope that you enjoyed talking to Nick. As you can tell, we have lots of conversations about how growth work actually really makes our life move forward or expand, however you want to actually see that. Thank you so much. We got a couple more minutes before we go to break. You know, I think Nick was talking about that learning project where he decided to give up fighting words. My deepest fear that usually plays a role in almost anything I do is I don't want to feel like the sense of energy coursing through me that I am not going to have control over. And so I'm in a constant state of stopping and starting and stopping and starting. And, you know, I think we all have some core experience that we're aware of, right? Or at least we can be aware of if we want to. And the real question is, what motivates us to want to go for it or work on it or see it or get closer to it? And that's really part of what I thought about this hodgepodge thing today is how committed? How motivated? What is it that causes you to want to go inside, to want to look at all of these inner pieces, to want to create a relationship between your body and your mind and your emotional self and your spiritual self, right? What is it that will have you want to take it more seriously? And you can call it self-care, but it's now got to go beyond that, because the self-care might be an element of it, but it really is coming down to our well-being translates to our transformational experience as well. Like, our well-being translates to how invested are we really in knowing ourselves and understanding, and as Nick said, unwinding what got wound up. So it's this time when we can start noticing what we've normalized that's unhealthy or doesn't further our quality of life. So we can talk about it through that side, or we can talk about it through the side of what do I want to create, or what do I really want to feel, like Aviva Ram talks about it. What do I really want to feel, and how do I go after it? So you might look at, can you sit still and be quiet? Are you demanding on yourself? Are you more demanding on yourself than you used to be? And how does that demand actually sound, right? What are you becoming acutely aware of that seems to be a recurring conversation that doesn't feel as if it's supporting your expansion? And where are you afraid? Can you find it in your body? That's that thing I was talking about, that I am deeply afraid of giving myself over to the fullest energy and flow of my body, really, like the movement, right? And another question you might ask is, do you have a sense of being nervous and agitated and resistant and reactive? Again, that's on the side of, let's look at what's happening that you wouldn't normally notice or want. But then we can look at all the things that you do want, right? That's this hodgepodge today. We're looking at it from more than one angle rather than just one subject. So when we come back, we'll go a little further.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcome to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Satvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes,
walk a mile in my shoes,
walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Okay, we're back. I'm Sam Parado. You're listening to Expedition Self. And if you're listening and you would like to call in and share a little bit about your growth work, this is a good time to do it. It's 202-570-7057. I always have to remember it. So I want to go back and just keep kind of working this idea about that your nervous system, and the more you pay attention to it, it gives you a way to begin to make choices, right? To begin to work on making that life that really allows for your kind of sense of freedom and peace. So there is a kind of double bind when you say, I'm going to go work like, or work with my self-care, and I'm going to work with my nervous system. right? This double bind is that the desire to bring your nervous system into a less heightened state, right? To care a lot about your well-being and your holistic occupation of yourself, it means that you're going to run up against your inner sense of self-deserving and acceptability way down deep, right? Probably the stuff that doesn't even have a name or doesn't even, you may not even be aware of. And if you don't go inside of that deservability and acceptability, and really look at how much you're able to care about yourself, to believe in your deepest places that you're worthy of self-love, and to work the very real life experiences when you didn't experience love or worthiness or acceptability, right? And notice how you speak to yourself through your thoughts, then you won't actually care about how your nervous system is doing. Remember, I said this is a double bind. So while you're caring about yourself, you're also opening up the place where you're going to see that there's lots in there that you don't. And that's really some of the parts where when Nick said, I started saying, I'm not going to do battle words. That was the way in which the self-talk at some level, I'm imagining, right, had to do with the parts of the self that really didn't experience that self-care. So the level of your self-care has probably been normalized, and you've accepted it for looking like the way that it does, right? So let's see, let me think about how I would like to talk about this. So when you say, this is how it is right now, or I have no choice about how I'm doing life in my body, that's when you're saying, yeah, it's been normalized. So we want to take that back from the world. Take it back out of the things you don't have any power over. That's the sense I want to share with you. If you can see it, like stop attributing your overworked nervous system to being controlled or caused by the way you do life, as if it's outside of your purview. Because it is being driven and sourced by you from the deepest inside. Whatever you've got, wherever you are, whatever you're dealing with right now, it is some way or another a reflection of the deepest parts of you, even if you have no knowledge of where they fit, right? We don't want to wait until something really dramatic happens to actually go in there and look. What if the time of the pandemic at a deeper level was useful to illuminate this normalization about how you live inside yourself? And have you seen things that have helped you now make different choices? So when you review each day about how it's shaping up for you, what are the things that you can begin to move and reshape so that your inner sense of being with you can settle down and find a new normal? And how do you look around the world or in your past life and find some baseline experiences to work towards? Because you have to have some sense of what you're going for, right? Some sense. Nick just talked about what he was going through. I have these moments where when I'm sitting on my deck eating this dinner with friends, my internal sensors are quieter then, and I have all this energy that I'm not afraid of, right? Then I have other moments where I get nervous and scared, or I'm in rush thinking, and I end up feeling paralyzed and my energy goes out the window. See, what's under that though still, right, is I don't want to really give over to the flow, really speak what's there all the time. So I just want to encourage you to really hone in on what's going on for you here. And this leads me to my next thought process. Because I think we're kind of doing a body focus today, but a few years ago, I had this opportunity to go to Boston. I would go like every 6 weeks and work all day long with Leslie Salmon Jones, who is the creator of Afro Flow Yoga. And she's a dancer and a super, super special human being when it comes to healing in all ways. And she would basically work with me all day long on health and well-being. And we'd exercise and we'd dance and we'd go to the grocery store so I could learn how to eat differently. I mean, just so many cool things so I could start to understand what it meant, you know, to make healthier choices and form this deeper relationship with my body. So this one day we were doing yoga, and at the time my left shoulder was in bad shape, and You know, I don't know whether I've mentioned it before, but I had scoliosis when I was young. My spine is fused. I was in a body cast in high school, my senior year. And so I always have hip pain in some way that crops up. Right. So I'm lying on the mat and my hip and my shoulder not happy. And we've been working out for like 4 hours doing some movement or another. And I'm like, I want to stop because it's painful. And she says, well, you can heal that pain. And I'm like, what? It's my body. If it hurts, then it hurts. I just want to stop doing what we're doing. And right. That's how I thought about it. And so she paused and she said, well, you can stop. Right. There's a choice. Or you can work with it and learn from it and not run from it. And I'm like, big time eye roll, because when it comes to my body, right, this is not an area where I have like the deepest relationship that I'm with. Right. Whatever's going on with it, it often feels like, well, it's just the way it is. It's not movable until it moves on its own. I just have to wait it out. Right. And cope. Can you hear the separation that I have bought into between my body and my thoughts? So I said, okay, show me what you mean. I'm still a little skeptical, right? And so we began to slowly listen to the pain and work with it, moving in these tiny micro movements and then following where the pain sent me. And so there was a movement in my front shoulder, and then in my socket, and then the front of my hip, and then my other hip. So we just kept moving and following the pain rather than moving away from it. And voila, truly, within 20 minutes, I could move free of pain at that time. I was like, are you kidding me? Right? It blew my mind. So it's no different than in growth work, where we avoid, when I think about growth work, that this was just another parallel learning experience. Right? That pain is asking for attention, for listening, or for slowing down, that resistance or reactivity or defensiveness, right? Or places where we don't want to go because we actually experience emotional pain, right? Or all these places where, even in the nervous system, right? That the more that we look at this nervous system, it's telling us to get with it, to be in relationship with it. And of course, there was something else I got to see. And I have had to learn this many, many times, which is that sometimes we have to be shown how something is. We not only can't be told about it, but we can't get it intellectually. We have to put our bodies into the experience. And something else that's been a theme in my life and probably had a lot to do with the curvature in my spine is that I don't really have an integrated, supportive, and empowering relationship with my body. You know, my intellect, it pushes it around and demands that it shows up. Well, my body has all this resource available, but I don't think I tap into half of it because I don't really, I mean, I know it sounds like if I could talk about it, I should change it. But when I really look at the day-to-day moments, it's just not there. So when you go inside and you commit yourself to, I want to be on my growing edge inside, I want to really be willing to learn. There's so much wealth of information and freedom of movement that's possible. If you just try to work your body so you look good, or you force it to lift weights or show up no matter what, well, that's a relationship that's based on dominance and separation, like mine. And when that happens, you're reinforcing the way you work in the world too, with the relationships you have and the people and the situations you encounter. I think this is one of the things that's hardest for people to see, is that inside of you, there's all these relationships you're managing. And the one to your body is one of the bigger ones. And the way you're doing that relationship inside is the way you're going to relate to everything on the outside. You have a relationship with each part of your body. You have a relationship with events that affected your body. Right? You have one with pleasure and with pain. You have the part of you that, you know, the relationship between the part of you that drives your show, the doer bee, right? And the body. Right? And you have one that between the needs and the wants and whether it's really a need, right? And whether or not you're being like, I don't want to say this in a rough way, but whether you talk to yourself like you're being a baby or you're being strong, right? Weak or strong. right? You have a relationship between food and your body. There is the thing that there is to see is that depending on how that relationship inside of you goes, and this is just a couple of areas we're talking about today in our hodgepodge, that's pretty much how you're going to relate to others in the outside world. So when stuff's not happening in the outside world that you feel like is a match, you know to go inside again. That's what we're talking about, right? That's why I thought it would be so great to hear Nick's story. It's like he wanted the outside to go different. He went inside and then the outside started to go different. It really, really matters. And the body, it'll react if you go for a long time and not relate to it, because it's communicating with us all the time. I mean, there's so many places that we get communicated with. And then that thing they call cellular memory, the idea that each and every moment has a home in the cells of your body, and that those cells make up the moment. When I was lying on that mat with Leslie, and my shoulder and my hip hurt, and all that's connected. So these are a lot of words, but the upshot of it is that you have a relationship with your body and your nervous system. You can engage in that relationship with the intention of listening and healing and empowering it, and that pain's an invitation to come closer to yourself. So going inside includes going inside with your body. So when we think about this quality of relating that we're working towards, it's one where all things are respected, all parts, where we don't have to dominate or manipulate or coerce to get our needs met, even though we learned a whole bunch of habits when we were young and getting older based on whether we did get them met. It's one where we can listen and hear the hard things, the not nice things, the parts of ourselves that we associate with human being qualities that we think, oh, I'm not that, I don't want to be that, right? Like jealousy or resentment, right? And that this all causes us to remove judgment and assessment from appreciating the intrinsic value of each and every moment of our lives. So this is what you want to notice, the way things are going on inside of yourself, and try not to normalize it all, to have it seem like it's just expected background noise, because the answers are in the noticing. I so often talk about the mentality of learning and what this requires inside of us, right? What that learning mode is. But that's what you're doing. You're training yourself, right, when you do growth work, right? It's easy to focus on what you're doing and your reactions rather than attempting to explore beneath the reactions. So think about it in this moment. Something that you've been reactive to in the last 24 hours. Something that you thought was caused by another person's actions. Now, in this moment, simply take the case that whatever happened was something that was served up for you to learn from. That it is perfect in some way that to assist you in getting more information about you and your life and the way you think and your way of being. It's hard, right? Like to take something that looks like, you know, you didn't cause it, or it's your not thing, or you didn't want it, right? And then instead to say, wait, what is this here for me? That's that learning mentality. I can't tell you how important I think it is. Because our minds like to go directly to what's right or wrong, whether we were right or wrong, who's to blame, right? Instead of actually taking that split second and saying, no, I'm a learner. I'm a seeker. I'm somebody who I am going to really slow down and look inside, that looking inward, right? And without it, we miss the opportunity to see what else exists. So in one way, right, we become hyper aware of what's happening with the conversation going on inside us. And another way, we also begin to accept and work with the things that are happening to us that impact us. Okay, so, you know, I guess what I, the last piece, do I even have time? I don't even know that I actually have time to cover this, but I'll just say it quickly because we'll probably do another hodgepodge show, is that I want to talk about this idea that we throw around labels all the time, like, oh, that person's narcissistic or that person's codependent. I just have to say that I know that these labels have helped all of us to start to think about ways of being that are a byproduct of our lives. But at the same time, we have a tendency to love to put them on other people. And so one of the things I just want to say, and I'll probably do some more conversation about this, is it's really important that if you want to put a label on someone else, that you go find exactly all that stuff in yourself. Go actually look, go connect with it, because I feel like we've all become couch psychologists. We've all walk around now with the labels, and we can have them fly around. But really, the only place that's important to look is inside us, and what's really going on in there. And if you want to put a label on yourself, even that, well, let's look and figure out what actually is really going on there. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for being with me this week. And I look forward to next week and our next Hodgepodge show, which I'm sure someday in the future I'll put on the schedule. Thank you.